The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
You got to hear Tim Walz explaining why he dropped out of the race for governor. It's amazing. It really is. Just an absolute amazing piece of audio, which we'll bring you today, is this guy is in just perpetual denial. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. I threw a little powder on here. I was outside. I was playing with Gary. We were playing fetch, and he's great at it, by the way. He's great at fetch. He's really fun. So took him for a long walk today, maybe a little too long. Now I'm realizing my face is super red. So there we go. A little powder fixes that. And I'll probably get some powder on Thursday. Just saying. Welcome to the show. A lot going on today. The president was speaking with House Republicans on Capitol Hill. It is the anniversary of Insurrection Day, of course. Happy Insurrection Day to you and yours. If you celebrate, if you observe, hopefully you got your Insurrection Day shopping done on time. It is the high holy day of the left. So, you know, make sure you pay them their due. And remind them how America had the worst day since the Civil War, Pearl Harbor, 9/11, and the last Sunday's Eagles game combined in one for Insurrection Day. At the same time that they all stand around and try to defend Nicolas Maduro, who's an actual dictator who wouldn't leave office, unlike President Trump, who did. And he joked today about canceling elections. So you know they're going to lose their freaking minds over that. You know that. You know that that's coming. That he's, the fact that he dared to joke about canceling elections means that minds will be blown. And the outrage will ensue. Obviously, if it, I mean, that's already happening, of course. But I don't know how that would work if they canceled midterms. I'm not really sure how that would work. But I imagine it would go something like this. They would say, all right, we're not going to have elections, even though the states run all the elections. So we're just not going to have them. And then, of course, the Democrat states would still have them. And then the Democrats would wind up winning the House majority because the Republican states would probably follow the president's rule on that and then not have them. And so the Democrats would wind up winning the midterms. In other words, why on earth would we ever cancel midterm elections? That would make absolutely no sense, considering the states run the elections. It's not going to happen, but let the Democrats have their fantasies, okay? It's important for people to have fantasies. You got to have a dream in life. You got to have a dream. Speaking of which, by the way, my announcement yesterday, thank you for all the wonderful positive feedback. This is my dream now as we transition to my podcast starting on Monday, which I'm super excited about. I'm an entrepreneur now, officially. I have my LLC registered, the Rich Zeoli Show, the patent, the trademark, all of it. Was doing the technical rehearsal today with my new engineer slash producer, and it was a complete and utter success. So there you go. It was great. And some idiot on social media was suggesting that this was a demotion. let me just say that the podcast universe, you may have seen, is kind of catching on like wildfire right now. We're in a moment. We're in a moment in America. I'm an entrepreneur. I love going after things and seizing things and doing it. And then also this hybrid model of still being on the radio while doing that. And I've already had conversations about the show being on other stations. So that's pretty cool too, and a lot of fun. But the only thing that's going to change is just you're just gonna have me for an hour versus four. But that's better for you because, quite frankly, you don't need 4 hours of me. No one needs 4 hours of me. My family doesn't need 4 hours of me. If 1 hour is plenty of time, it really is. You're gonna like it better. Trust me, you're gonna like it better come Monday. It's gonna be fun. But thanks for all your nice comments. I got a really nice comment from Carrie, which I'll also share on the air as well. As to who's gonna be 3 to 6 starting on Monday, it's gonna be a rotating cast of characters. There, that's better. A rotating cast of characters until they make a determination on who they want to be the permanent 3 to 6 host or team or however they want to do it. I can tell you truly, I don't know. There has not been a decision that has been made. I know that for a fact. So, not keeping you from anything there in any way, shape, or form. But it's a fun time. It really is. It's an exciting time. I was supposed to be up in New York today doing newsroom, but with this crazy news cycle, we moved it to Thursday, which is actually better anyway, for a lot of different reasons. But that may not happen because of the news cycle. It's just nuts. It's a crazy time, as you know. The good news, though, is that I don't speak Venezuelan. I don't know if that's a language, but I don't speak Venezuelan. So I'm glad Maduro's not going to be back in court until March, because that means that at least the Maduro news cycle kind of goes out for a little bit, because they bring in experts based on the news of the day. And since I'm not fluent in Venezuelese, Ian, I don't know. They would bring in other people, military people and lawyers and whatnot. But that guy is not going to be back in court until March. And this trial is going to go on, as you heard yesterday, for years, which is great. Unless he Epstein's himself, of course. If he Epstein's himself, then, you know, all bets are off there. I don't know. I mean, I would just hope that whoever's in charge of the cameras at the prison, when they have their little 2-minute reset, which is such BS anyway, I would hope that the 2-minute reset people are watching maybe a double shift during the 2-minute reset, if there are, in fact, cameras on Maduro, I would imagine. But overall, the reaction to this has been what you'd expect. Democrats, who at one point were blasting President Trump for not doing anything about Maduro, are now screaming that he's committed an impeachable offense by capturing Maduro, the very guy that they wanted him to do something about. And he did something about the guy, and now they're all screaming impeachment and removal from office and everything else. And that's exactly what you'd expect from the Democrats, of course, the absolute lack of consistency. And this is a bigger problem with them right now, which is they have no message. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're saying. They have no clue what they want to be out there communicating. They really don't. And so even on the Maduro thing, They have to come out now and defend a dictator. They got to come out and defend a guy who basically was a ruthless thug who stole the election and would not leave the election. And would not leave and was there. I mean, look, you can debate whether or not we ever should have got the guy or not. Feel free. Knock yourself out. That's America. That's America. But he's literally a dictator. He's literally the very definition of what a dictator means, which is that when you lose, you chase out your opposition, you refuse to leave, you have all your cronies say that you won, and you just stay. And then you cancel any other elections, you don't let people who might win run against you, and you just hold on to power. That is the textbook definition of dictator. If you were to look it up, it's that. That's it. So now you've got Democrats defending a dictator. The other problem for them is that he's a socialist, Maduro, and the country has been an absolute disaster. It's a disaster. Economically speaking, it's a disaster. You contrast that with Javier Milei, who was democratically elected, a libertarian economist, and has completely turned the country around. It's been an amazing success story that even we in the United States of America can learn a lot from. And they hate Javier Milei because he's a true cap. I mean, he's further to the right of capitalism on the political spectrum. He's further to the right of that. And Maduro is a socialist. So once again, what we've done here is we've exposed the failures of socialism and communism. And it's going to happen again, because Cuba is not going to be around for very long if they can't get the cheap Venezuelan oil. I think Cuba is probably next to fall. I think it's due for another revolucion. I really do. I really believe that. And we'll see. But yeah, if you're the Democrat Party right now, you know that the first thing you have to do is whatever Trump does, you have to be against it. That's rule number one. That's the first rule. The first rule of Democrat Fight Club is not that you don't talk about Fight Club. They can't shut up about it. It's whatever Trump does, you have to be against it. So he goes and he arrests Maduro, and they bring the guy back to the United States of America. And the Democrats are like, you can't do that. He's a democratically elected president of a country, except he's not democratically elected because he lost the election. So he's a squatter and he's a criminal, and yet they have to defend him. and they have to criticize Trump because of the fact that he went and got Maduro. It's a wacky time to be a Democrat. It really is. It's a wacky time. Then you got Tim Walz, who resigns, tries to explain why he resigned. The answer is terrible. And Minnesota is a mess because of Tim Walz. This fraud scandal, which gets worse every single day, more and more is exposed. And so ICE now is going into Minnesota in a big capacity, and they're going to be arresting people. A lot of illegal immigrants who are here in this country, obviously illegally, and gang members. And yeah, this Somali criminal enterprise that ran this massive fraud scandal. And what do? Democrats turn around and Democrats say that they don't like the fact that ICE is coming in to Minnesota. So they're on the opposite side of that issue, too. And if you were to ask the average person, just anybody, what do you think about the Minnesota fraud scandal? They would all say it's bad. That's what they would say. They'd say it's bad. They may say other words, too, but they would all agree on the fact that it's bad. Then if you said to them, all right, what about all the people that are in this country illegally who perpetrated the fraud scandal and were ripping people off to the tune of anywhere from $1 to $9 billion? And that's a big range. But I don't care. I think if you hit the $1 billion mark, really after that, kind of whether it turns out to be $9 billion, $6 billion, $4.5 billion, three-quarters of it, it doesn't matter. It's already such an egregious violation and theft of the people's money that the average person goes, yeah, it's not good. It's not good. What do Democrats do? They scream about how dare Trump turn around and send in ICE to Minnesota. And then you got Colombia, where Colombia is now deploying the military towards the border and learning nothing from my show yesterday when I advised all these kook dictators. Probably not a good idea to say, come get me, bro. Literally, the president of Colombia came out yesterday and said, come get me, coward. That's what he said. He said, I'm here. Come get me. So he's asking for a fight. But he's almost done. And I wonder if that guy is trying to use this as a ploy to be able to hold on to power there, because that would be something. That would be a little coup. But this is what you're seeing. Instead of them learning and saying, all right, well, we're dealing with a guy who has no problem using force against us if he doesn't like us, why don't we cozy up to him a little bit, and why don't we try to make nice with the United States of America? They figure, we'll take him on. We'll be more powerful that way. We'll come out and make grand proclamations like, come get me, bro. Come get me, coward. And see how that works out. I think the president of Colombia is hoping that that happens so that he can remain in office, so that there really is no election. Because unlike the United States of America, which will not be canceling elections, could I see Colombia doing that in a heartbeat? Yeah, in a heartbeat, I could see that. No doubt about that. So that's the latest on that. And then there's a question, of course, of what happens with all this when you think about and on this high holy day of the left on January the 6th, of course, many people wondering, all right, well, we got Maduro. What about some of these deep state thugs that perpetrated Russiagate and perpetrated the spying on American citizens and the weaponization of our government and ultimately going after our duly elected president, Donald Trump, in his first term and then trying to stop him from getting into office the second time around? What about them? Are we going to go after any of them? I don't have an answer for you on that, but I know it's the frustration that a lot of people have. And maybe the reason why Dan Bongino has announced that he's also going back to a podcast/radio show. Now, I don't think Dan Bongino is getting pushed out of the FBI. I think he genuinely misses doing it. And I think he was making a blank ton of money doing it. And I think for Dan Bongino, he figures, I miss the microphone. I miss having the voice. I miss being able to go out there and say what I want to say and rip these people a new one. But he also might be frustrated that internally it seems like they can't get a lot of these people. You know what I mean? A lot of the deep state actors, a lot of the people that continue to perpetuate this weaponization of government against the American people and are still, you know, still trying to undermine Donald Trump at every turn. And maybe it's that frustration that these people are able to walk around free. And it's that frustration that these people, but no consequences. Nothing seems to ever happen to them. And maybe that's part of the frustration, too. I think when Bongino comes back on the air or in his podcast or whatever iteration he does, or maybe he'll do a hybrid like I'm doing where he'll be on podcasts and on radio, because that's going to be the new way. You'll see. Maybe he'll air it all out. Maybe there are certain things he can't say, though. Maybe he'll have to keep certain things close to the vest. But knowing him and knowing the way that he likes to sound off, I'd be shocked if he doesn't come out and let everybody know exactly how he feels about everything. And in terms of what I think is probably a guy who has managed to come up with an even greater work schedule than I have, Jon Stewart, he works one day a week now. He does the Daily Show on Mondays. He does one day. I don't think it was a demotion. I think Jon Stewart, just at this point in his career, likes the idea of doing one show a week. Rachel Maddow pulled off the same thing with MS Now, at MSNBC at the time, MS Now. But I'll say Jon Stewart, I think, is very funny. I've always thought that is very funny. And he had a conversation with Senator Mark Kelly about the whole video that he put out with the telling the troops don't commit a war crime and blah, 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 and yada, yada, yada. And he brought up Obama's drone strikes of killing of American citizens. Brought it up. Now, he also brought up, which is important to note, the times that the other Democrats also went after and like with Barack Obama going after the Libyan guy, Gaddafi. Remember him? He was a thing. Bill Clinton with Slobodan Milosevic. So the Democrats with their going after Donald Trump, it's the hollow hypocrisy because these people are never consistent on anything. I've said, and I'm not going to blast Republicans who are consistent on these issues. I won't do it. Other people can do that. You know, other people can blast Massey or Rand Paul or other people, but I'm not going to do that because they're consistent on their beliefs and their philosophies. You may have a different opinion than them, and that's fine. But when people are consistent in their views and their beliefs, it's not something that I will then come after them for. Because I'll say, all right, you may have a different belief. You may have a different viewpoint. But I admire your consistency. I admire the fact that you no matter what, no matter who's in charge, you hold the same views. Democrats don't do that. Democrats, what they do is they'll say one thing, and then depending on who's in power, they'll just turn themselves into a gigantic pretzel trying to figure out how they're going to make this work to criticize, even though they said one thing when it was their guy, to criticize now the guy in power who's doing exactly what they said the last time when they criticized the other guy. For example, when Chuck Schumer criticized Donald Trump for not doing anything about Maduro and is now screaming that this was a violation of the Constitution, there needs to be a congressional authorization for war, blah, 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 blah. And then you look at him and you go, you freaking hypocrite. Do you not think that we would find all this stuff? Do you not think that we would find this when Senator Chris Murphy, and there's a clip of him who also blasted Trump for letting Maduro stay in power. And then he was confronted by it in the media. And we have the audio of that for you. And he turns around and he's like, well, I mean, when I said that, it was much more like a Hallmark card greeting than it really was a suggestion to actually do anything about it. Like, what? I mean, either keep your mouth shut about it and don't say anything. But then if Trump then actually does go and grab Maduro, then you can't turn around and be like, oh, my God, I can't believe you did that thing that I asked you to do all those years ago, which is to get Maduro and keep him from being in power. I can't believe you're doing the actual thing that I'm telling you to do, but not do it now because I don't want you doing it now. I want you to do it then. And now that you're doing it, I'm going to act like I never said those things back then. Your brain turns into a form of jello or something like that when you look at that. Whereas you contrast that with a guy like Tom Massey, who people are mad at him because he doesn't like this action, this military action. But the man has always been consistent, always, whether it's a Democrat or it's a Republican, when it comes to using military force. He's always been consistent. You'll never find a time where he was like, yeah, go get him because it's my guy. Or don't go get him because it's their guy, but now go get him because it's my... Like, he doesn't play that game. Others do. There are other Republicans who do that. But with the Democrats now, it's just so laughable because they get called out on this and then they have to try to explain why what they said then is different from what they meant for Donald Trump to do, even though they're very clear in what they wanted Donald Trump to do, and then he's doing it, and they're like, but yeah, but that's not exactly... We have the cut for you. This is Senator Chris Murphy being confronted on this issue. I saw this yesterday on Instagram. It was posted by the Daily Caller. They do a good job of this. He was speaking with Dana Bash on CNN, and Dana Bash confronted him on this point. This is Cut 18. Take a listen.
In 2019, you wrote an op-ed and you called for Maduro to be gone. You said, let's get one thing straight. There should no longer be any debate about Maduro's lack of democratic legitimacy. The Trump administration is right to put restoring Venezuelan democracy at the center of our approach to this crisis. A return to a stable democracy is in the interest of the Venezuelan people and the United States and the hemisphere. We don't know what's going to happen with regard to the civilian leadership there. Tom Cotton was just here saying that he hopes that there are democratic elections. Isn't that what you want?
Well, the rest of that article was a criticism of President Trump's early moves to saber rattle around regime change. Listen, there are evil, brutal dictators all over the world. That does not give the American president the right to invade those countries, in large part because we have seen how this script plays out. I watched an interview with Senator Cotton. You asked him what the difference was between Iraq and Venezuela. He didn't say the difference was we aren't going to invade Venezuela like we invaded Iraq. He said that if we invade Venezuela, which may be part of the president's plan, it's going to go really well. Over and over again, we have seen these warmongering neocons, many of which have influence in this White House, cheerlead us into war under the guise of removing a very bad man. That ends up getting a lot of Americans killed. And if this is really just about the oil, if this is really just about the natural resources, if this is just about getting a bunch of Donald Trump's friends on Wall Street even richer, I don't think there's a single American family who would support having their son or daughter put into harm's way to defend the interests of Wall Street. This is once again American oil interests, American financial interests coming before the actual national security interests of the United States.
So then why did you say and write an op-ed and say that Maduro has to go? That's my question. Why would you do that then? If you're, I mean, yeah, I agree with you. There's evil dictators all around the world. And I for one, don't really care if they're there. And I don't really want the United States toppling them. But I didn't write an op-ed calling for the guy to be toppled. You did. That was you. That you're the one who wrote that. So you can't be like, well, I mean, yes, I wrote that. But I didn't think he was going to actually do anything about it. So now that he's done something about it, I have to explain to you that, you know, it's really the kind of thing that, you know, I mean, I wrote it because I just thought it was like when you write a letter to an ex-girlfriend and you're like, baby, come back. And then she comes back and you're like, well, I mean, I was venting. I didn't really mean I wanted you gone. Baby, come back is a song. It's not really what I meant. I didn't really mean for you to come back. You can't write an op-ed calling for the guy to be gone, to be toppled, and then the guy is gone and he's toppled, and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you did the very thing that I said you should do. This is why these people sound like such freaking hypocrites. And I have just no use for people like that. I have no use for them. I will defend people who are consistent all day long. I will. Even if they disagree with President Trump, like Tom Massey does, I will defend his consistency. You may not. That's okay. You're free. You don't have to. But what I can't stand, what drives me crazy, what makes me so angry are people like this guy who's like, yeah, no, I said I wanted him gone until Trump actually got rid of him. And now I'm saying you should not have done the thing that I said to do. It's like, what? Stop it already. All right, and that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneri of Veneria Dental. Two locations to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Go see Dr. Mike for your perfect smile. He's the best. I saw him on New Year's Eve. He gave me my beautiful smile checkup. Everybody in the office is fantastic. They'll take great care of you, all right? VeneriaDental.com. Big show for you today. More Democrat hypocrisy on Maduro, on Tim Walz, and everything else. We'll share it all with you as the show goes on. Plus, Corey DeAngelis is going to join us a little bit later today. He, of course, is the school choice champion slash, I'd say, school choice leader in this country. He's really the best. And we'll look at some of the crazy clips with our buddy Bill DiAgostino from the Media Research Center. So big show for today on this Tuesday. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
How about Wegmans Collection Biometrics? Yeah, that's a great story. Which actually my buddy Mike Opelka, our buddy Stunt Brain, brought to my attention. Yeah, I'd like to talk about that as well today on the show. Welcome back. Glad you are here. I appreciate it very much. And I know there's some questions around next week and how it's all going to work out. So basically, if you like to listen at 3, you can listen at 3. If you want to listen live on the radio at 6, or I should say, if you want to listen on the radio at 6, you can listen on the radio at 6. If you want to listen later, that's fine too. You'll be able to listen whenever you want. That's the way it's going to work starting on Monday. It's a great thing. And then I'll be on Kale and Company on Thursday morning. I think I'm going to be on Thursday mornings going forward, stopping in, hanging out with them for a little bit. I think before Jimmy Fallon comes on for his weekly hit, Dawn has graciously invited me to join her show once a week. So I'll be popping on there as a contributor once a week. And then at some point, whoever they decide to put in 3 to 6, if that person or people want me to join them for a segment once a week, I'd be more than happy to do so. I can't do Kale and Company this Thursday though, because I got newsroom, but it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be great. So bottom line is this: you're gonna get a great hour podcast. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be amazing. It's gonna be my best work, and you'll be able to listen when you want to listen. So that's the beautiful thing about this, because you can listen at 3 or 4 or 5 or 6. Or 7 or 8 or 9, or you listen the next morning at 10. Listen, just as long as you listen. That's all I care about. You just have to listen at some point. That's what I need you to do for me. If you do that for me, that would be fantastic. I would love that. I would appreciate it. And I know you will, because like I said, this is the most loyal audience in the history of radio. And it's great. It's wonderful. As far as what all this means for the future, we'll see. I just know great things are ahead for all of us, for all of us. And I applaud the station for being so cool with this and what I wanted to do, because it's a fun move. It's going to be a great move for me personally, and it's going to free me up to do a lot of other things too in addition to that. But you're my priority. You are my this show priority one. And that's why. So it's like, I saw yesterday some people were commenting. They're like, but I like to listen to 3. You can. And some people were like, well, I want to listen at 4:30. You can listen at 4:30. That's fine. You just download the podcast and listen to it. And that's how you can do that. If you want to listen on the radio, you're driving at 6 o'clock. You can turn on 1210 WPHD. You turn it on. And there I am on the radio at 6 o'clock. Right at 1210. If you want to wait till 6 and listen and tell your smart speaker to play it at 6, you can do that. But if you want to tell your smart speaker to play it at 9:30, you can do that too. The only thing you have to do is that, so right now, if you do get the podcast of this show, it is the Rich Cioli Show. Now, it's still going to be the Rich Cioli Show, but because of how the podcast algorithms and all that nonsense works, it's now going to be the Rich Cioli podcast. So you just have to sign up and subscribe to that, which again, I'll remind you to do it every day. I'll remind you more to do that than I'll remind you about my Fox News appearances. So, and if you're wondering, Cioli, I have not seen you on there since Friday night. I agree. And I'm getting a little bit anxious, Matt DeSantis, that it's been since Friday night that I've been on Fox News prime time in studio on set. And here I am on Tuesday and I have not been back on yet. And I'm getting a little anxious.
It's 3:30 on a Tuesday. I think you'll be back on soon.
I was supposed to be on today, but in fairness, they had this whole thing with Maduro happen. So, and I don't speak Venezuelan. Is that a language?
That is not.
That is Spanish.
Wait, Venezuelan Spanish?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's not that many differences, but there is like slight differences between the different kinds of Latin American Spanishes. So you're not, it's not technically its own language, but for the sake of purpose, it's its own language. Why not? Let's just roll with that.
See, Justin knows this because your nationality is
Puerto Rican,
which in there they speak Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's definitely not Puerto Rican Spanish, but yeah, it's Puerto Rican. We speak Puerto Rican there.
That's what I'm talking about. Is that really what they speak?
It's just Spanish with like a couple of different word changes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what do they speak in Arizona, DeSantis?
They speak some Spanish in Arizona.
Yeah. What do they speak at Harvard? It's called elitist. That's the language, Justin. And you can now, they have that, what is it, that language app, language learning app, and you can get elitism. It's a new language learning app, so you can speak to DeSantis.
Wouldn't surprise me if DeSantis is like a guest teacher on that app.
Yeah.
Yeah, I teach on Rosetta Stone and Duolingo, so either one, you'll find me.
Pronounce brioche. B-R-I-O-C-H-E, brioche. Nauseating.
There's
That's
little exercises. They're interactive on my platform. We'll have a simulation of a waitress asking you what type of bread you would like with your burger, and the answer is always brioche.
The answer is not well, that at all.
One of my favorite exercises from the app that DeSantis does is, Jeeves, bring me my creamy vanilla Coke, please.
Jeeves. I love it. Jeeves. Jeeves, bring me my Diet Coke and brioche. My vanilla Coke and brioche. You would never subject yourself to Diet Coke, of course. Vanilla
Justin,
Coke.
Justin, you need more lessons because you have to add like a quick clap as well when you say it.
See,
Jeeves,
see?
Yeah. You got
to
get.
You had
attention.
That way too, like ready to go.
Yeah, that was good.
There's some experience there.
That was good. And you notice how he does it too. You got to dig it. I know he's not on camera right now, but you got to take the hand. And you got to do this like that. Jeeves.
That's good.
Like that.
You've very been good. Practicing. I'm impressed.
I have been. I know. I'm very impressed. What else do we got? We got, So Wegmans. So Wegmans is using biometric data collection. And this is a bummer because I go to Wegmans. I shop at Wegmans. Viral door notice reveals Wegmans collects face scans and voice prints of customers in some stores. And a viral post was in New York City. Biometric identifier information is collected at this location. Wegmans Food Markets Inc. collects, retains, converts, stores, or shares customers' biometric identifier information, which may include facial recognition, eye scans, and voice prints. Wegmans confirmed that it is collecting the biometric readings, telling Fox News Digital in a statement that the safety of our customers and employees is a top priority. The company went on, like many retailers, we use cameras to help identify individuals who pose a risk to our people, customers, or operation. In a small fraction of our stores that exhibit an elevated risk, we have deployed cameras equipped with facial recognition technology. Well, this is because you might have situations where people get angry in the produce section and might throw an orange at somebody or something like that. Like, I don't know what, I could see this at a casino where they toss people out and then they try to sneak back in and that sort of thing. But a freaking grocery store? Anyway, the technology is solely used for keeping our stores secure and safe. The system collects facial recognition data and only uses it to identify individuals who have been previously flagged for misconduct. What kind of misconduct do you get into the grocery store? I'm trying again. The Rochester, New York-based grocery chain said it retains images and videos of shoppers for as long as necessary for security purposes before disposing of them. For security reasons, we do not disclose the exact retention period, but it aligns with industry standards. Persons of interest are determined by our asset protection team based on incidents occurring on our property and on a case-by-case basis by information from law enforcement for criminal or missing person cases. Wegman said it does not share biometric data with any third party. Facial recognition technology serves as one investigative lead for us. We never base our decisions on a single lead alone. Our goal is simple, to keep our stores safe and secure. It is unclear how many stores are using facial recognition technology. They have more than 100 stores in 9 states, including Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Virginia, plus Washington, D.C. A legislator from Monroe County, New York, wrote a letter to Colleen Wegman, president and CEO of the grocery chain, asking her to publicly state if biometric surveillance is in use at Wegman stores outside of New York City. Quote, reporting on Wegman's New York City locations has made clear that biometric surveillance, including facial recognition, is operating in grocery stores where customers have no practical opportunity to provide informed consent or meaningfully opt out, she wrote in part in her January 4th letter. Without explicit binding limits, assurances that biometric data is used only for security are insufficient, particularly given growing law enforcement and federal immigration reliance on third-party data sources, she said. The technology will one day be used for dynamic pricing or targeted promotions, is the question the lawmaker had. I mean, this is probably what's going to happen. It's like you're going to walk in one day, they'll scan your face, and then your eyes will, with whatever chip is implanted in your head, will show you that there's a sale on brioche and creamy vanilla Coke, and you'll probably, I don't like any of this stuff, but I know that the reality is there's cameras everywhere now. I mean, that's just the reality. I'm not a fan. I would just imagine this is probably everywhere. That's why, you know, it's a bummer, because I like Wegmans. If you can find a mom and pop grocery shop, they're probably not using biometric, you know what I mean? There was a concerning abuse of biometrics in Madison Square Garden. Yes, we talked about this story when this happened, Matt. I remember this. An attorney who was involved in litigation against the owner of the Rockettes and the Christmas Spectacular, which is Madison Square Garden. They own the whole company. She went to Madison Square Garden and she was engaged, or she was turned away from watching the Rockettes, I should say, because of this litigation around Madison Square Garden. The system flagged her based on her firm's public information, despite her having no direct connection to the lawsuit itself. I remember that happening too. And that's just bad. In my opinion, that's bad customer service, because you don't want to think when you're going to take your kids to the Rockettes that you're going to have biometric facial recognition and data and scanning your eyelids. And I mean, it's bad enough you got to go through metal detectors and all these things. It's bad enough, but they're using this everywhere now. They're using this at games. I mean, and this company, this Clear, which you can sign up for if you want. I'm not doing it, but you can do this if you want to do it at the airport and then supposedly speed your way through TSA even faster. That's probably going to ultimately replace PreCheck at some point, where everybody's going to have to pay the money, do a biometric scan, and then do the facial recognition, and if you want to get on an airplane. I mean, that's coming too. I wish it wasn't. I hate this stuff. But I remember being on the radio. You know, I've been doing this a long time now. It's crazy. But I remember before I was even a full-time host in 2014, I remember having conversations about just even red light cameras and how controversial they were. And one of the things they did, one of the things Chris Christie did right in New Jersey was he got rid of the red light cameras. They're coming back, though. I just read an article the other day that Governor-elect Mikey Sherrill and the Democrats who run the legislature are planning on bringing back the red light cameras, but only so far as it deals with school buses. So you're going to start putting up red light cameras, speed cameras, and other sensor cameras, but only to catch drivers who are not obeying school buses. That's always how it starts, of course. And then when you're not paying attention, it expands into everything. And obviously, in Pennsylvania, there's lots of towns that have red light cameras. And I know this because If I'm behind a car with Pennsylvania plates in New Jersey, the minute the light turns yellow, they slam on their brakes, because that's what happens when you get conditioned to not want to get a ticket going through a red light camera. I can't stand any of this stuff. I hate the traffic cameras. I hate the speed cameras. I hate all of it. I really do. But it's only going to get worse as time goes on. I mean, it's only going to get worse. You know that. I know that. As retinal scans on everything and facial recognition technology being used at friggin' grocery stores now. I think the challenge is finding places that don't do it and then patronizing them and then saying to them, look, we appreciate the fact that you're not taking all this biometric data and then storing it. And what do you do with it? And then what right as a consumer do you have? Nothing, because you've agreed to go into their store. I mean, once you cross that threshold, there's nothing you could do. They got your access to your data. You've given your consent by walking in. The government, it's a little trickier, though, because, you know, I don't believe constitutionally the government should have a right to get all that information on its citizens. And you don't really have a choice if you want to get on an airplane these days other than to submit to it. Now, if you're coming into this country and you're not a citizen of this country, that's a different story. You choose to come to America, you're not an American citizen. If at the airport, when you're entering the country, they do facial recognition on you, that's a different ballgame. You don't have constitutional rights. You're not protected like that. But if it happens to me at the airport, I don't like it. It's not a situation of like, oh, if it happens to me, I don't like it. But if it happens to other people, no. I mean, if it happens to an American citizen, it's different than it happens to a person who's not a citizen who's coming to our country. Just like if I went to Italy and I got to the airport and they did facial recognition, I don't have to go. But if I go, I don't have the right to complain because it's not my country. I don't live there. I'm not a citizen of their country. I could be. Since my grandfather was born in Caivano, Italy, I could become a citizen of the country, but I'm not. So I really don't have much to say. But, you know, back to the Wegmans story, or any of these grocery store chains, or any of these other private entities that do this, the facial recognition, the scanning, and everything else like this. I mean, the only choice you really have is to just patronize a store that doesn't do it. But, I mean, as the future goes on, you know, good luck doing that. That's why I try to mom and pop stores whenever I possibly can, because they don't have the money to put in these kind of fancy technological scans. And then you got to wonder something else too. As we talk about the high price of grocery stores, you also got to wonder about something else too, which is how much does all this cost? How much is all this facial recognition technology and the cameras and the storing of this? And how much does that add up to my food bill? I haven't heard much about that aspect of this, but I can't imagine it's cheap. I can't. If they're that worried about bad actors being in the produce section of the store, I try very hard to avoid. Can't be cheap, I would imagine. All right, 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. If you'd like to weigh in, do you know of another store, another chain that uses biometric data and facial recognition? Let me know if you do. You can feel free to weigh in on the YouTube chat. Call the show at 855-839-1210, or you can tweet me at Rich Zeoli. I'm going to tell you about Bob's Little Sports Shop. I'm going to be there this week, as a matter of fact, because I'm getting another firearm, and I'm excited about it. But I don't know which one I want to get. But that's the beautiful thing about shopping at Bob's, because they have an incredible firearm selection and they're experts. So they've been in business for 60 years. So they'll help you figure out the best gun for you, what you're looking for, what your needs are. They'll talk to you, let you try a bunch out. They even have a program where you can actually use ones for extended periods of time, figure out what you like. I love that. And then, of course, once you buy a firearm, And they'll help you the whole step of the way with the paperwork, getting all that done, so you get your license and whatever other permits you might need. And then it's the training, because you got to know how to use it. Very important. You don't want to be in a situation where you don't know how to use it, if you know what I mean. So that's why Bob's had their NRA range safety certified officers, and their instructors. They're fantastic. They're going to show you every step of the way. And you know what else sets Bob's apart from other places too? Ladies, they have women instructors for their women only events that they have. And they got another women's only event coming up very soon. So I think this New Year's, you should make it a priority to make sure that you and your family are protected and safe by going to Bob's Little Sports Shop. They're right on Delsey Drive in Glassboro. And all you got to do is go see them by going to bobslittlesportshop.com. bobslittlesportshop.com. Great people. Like I said, I'll be there this week. I am a customer, and I'm looking forward to it. Bob's Little Sports Shop. This ad sponsored by Bob's Little Sports Shop.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right. Yes, the new podcast will be on YouTube as well. So that will be happening. And yes. So that answers that question. I'm realizing now my camera's too high. I got to lower the camera. I'll do that in the break. Yeah, the biometric stuff freaks me out. It really does. I hate it. I hate it. I hate the red lights. I hate the cameras. I hate all of it. I find it all to be really, really frustrating that we are in this situation. And I don't feel like it's going to get any better anytime soon. I think it's going to get a whole lot worse. And as AI kicks in more and more, you got to wonder how many mistakes are going to be made too. Because, you know, I mean, all of this is artificial intelligence, scanning people's faces and scanning their eyeballs. And we used to always say, you know, if you've done nothing wrong, you have nothing to fear. Well, it's like, well, yeah, but can't I just have a little privacy? Like, isn't that just a thing? You know what I mean? Like, I just want a little privacy, and I could just know that I'm going to see the Rockettes or going to Wegmans or whatever without all these different things. And you notice cashless tolling, that's everywhere now. So if you were somebody who was holding out and getting an easy pass, which I don't blame you, I get it. And a lot of people don't like to be tracked and they don't want, you know, good luck. Now, I saw another sign the other day. I think it was on the AC Expressway. I think it starts this week, if I'm not mistaken. And I was driving back from Cape May, driving back from the Grand Hotel. And I noticed the signs on the AC Expressway, and it said that it's going to be all cashless tolling starting in January. So license plate scan, and then you get a bill in the mail. So, you know, if you were a holdout and you said to yourself, I don't want to have the tracking. I don't like it. And you were even willing to wait on long lines at a toll booth for that just because you had the ability to just, and that was your gone. You know what I mean? Gone. And there won't be any toll booths left anywhere soon. I think that's a dinosaur. And you may say, oh, it's saving money, but comes with something. All right. We got a lot more to come. 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.